And ask that you please stand and join us for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, let me go first time, okay. Wendy?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Wendy Planica. I'm the Communications Coordinator for the Butler County Board of MRDD. And we wanted to share with you this morning our awareness plan. Every year, the Butler County Board of MRDD in March celebrates MRDD awareness by creating a poster and a video and sharing it with the community. This year's awareness theme is celebrating 40 years in Butler County. We're celebrating where we've been in the past 40 years, but also where we're going in the future. We are kicking off our awareness campaign at our annual community recognition dinner, which is happening this coming Sunday evening at Receptions in Fairfield. We're unveiling our poster and our video there. And I set a poster in front of your chairs. Our poster depicts a little bit of our history and also the change over the years in how people with disabilities are now living full, complete lives. There have been so many changes over the past 40 years to our programs. 40 years ago, there weren't many options for people with developmental disabilities. Young children were excluded from public schools, so their parents were educating them in church basements or wherever they could find space. After the Butler County Board of MRDD was formed in 1968, levies were passed to operate and build the Fair Acre Center, which is now called the Janet Clemens Center on Fair Avenue. In 1975, when the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act was passed, students began to be transitioned out of Fair Acres and into their public school. Today, all students are educated in their public school system. In the early 70s and 80s, group homes, developmental centers, and state institutions were the only residential options available. If a child couldn't live with his or her family, chances are they were sent away to a state institution. Today, supports are available in the home so that people can stay with their parents or families for as long as possible. Supports are also available for people that choose to live on their own. The focal point of our poster, as you'll see, is the smiling couple, and their names are Sean and Heather O'Grady. Before the county boards of MRDD were created, it would have been thought impossible for an adult with a mental disability to live on their own and work to support themselves. But it has happened. Sean and Heather are married. They've been married 5 years. They live on their own. They own their own home in Fairfield. And they both work, and Sean even has his driver's license. They both benefited from MRDD's early intervention programs. They graduated from public schools and went straight into the workforce after graduation. They live happy, full lives, and we could not be more proud of them. We've accomplished a lot in the last 40 years, and much more is to come in the future. You will see more and more people with disabilities out in the community working, volunteering, or enjoying recreational activities. Adults are becoming their own self-advocates, and they are shaping the board's policies and programs. They recently requested that the words mental retardation be taken out of our name because of the negative connotation those words provide. The board has learned that the self-advocates have a voice about what our program should look like. We would like to take this opportunity to thank the commissioners for all their support for our levies, programs, and operations. Without you, our success could not have happened. I have a copy of our annual action plan, which I will leave with you today, and I thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Have any questions?
I have none.
Neat poster. I really like the poster.
Thank you. Very successful.
Commissioner, can I say something?
Certainly.
Back in 1982, when I first came to Monroe as the city manager, one of the first actions that I had to deal with was a group home being located on, I think it's Scott Allen Drive or in Monroe. And I was also the zoning enforcement officer. So it was all big controversy, you know, and one of the first legal actions I was ever involved with, the court slapped an injunction on me so I couldn't issue an occupancy permit for the home. So, I mean, it all worked out eventually, but that was my indoctrination into Ohio.
Times change.
Yep.
Okay, Rick?
Good morning. What I've laid in front of you is a couple of documents, and they are on legal size sheets. They look like this. And you might remember from last year, and Mr. Dixon, you might remember this from back in the 80s. This is something that Lloyd and I started back in probably the middle 80s, and we've been working with this document and refining it. And what we have is a 10-year plan that I try and just forecast out so that we've got some idea of where we're going and what we're looking at into the future, so that you know, that we don't walk into this blind over a year or two at a time and then come up and surprise you with asking for a levy or not showing you what a long-term forecast looks like for the Board of Mental Retardation, at least for as we're entering our 40th year and looking forward to our 50th. So what you have is a list of assumptions that is, this is the document that is full of words, and what that does is that backs up the document that is full of numbers. And as you look at that, you'll see it starts off at the top with local taxes and what I would be projecting out for that. And right now, it looks as though we are changing from last year when we were talking to you about the possibility of just going with renewals. Since the personal property taxes, we got more information on that and how that phase-in would work, and that we would lose that phase-in upon replacement. I'm sorry, not renewals, but replacement. That we would lose that upon that phase-in upon replacement. So we're looking at a 1 mil new, and that would be out in the year 2010. That puts us on a 6-year cycle. Last levy was in 2004, but there are a whole list of like 9 things that are still outstanding at this point that I have no idea how they're going to fall, which could push that back a little further. So at this point, you know, we never know how the state budget is going to fall and what we're looking at exactly. But I wanted to give you an idea of the kind of things that are up in the air at this point. And they are on page 3 of your document that is the Word document. It says, the things I still don't know that have a tremendous impact on this projection. One would be a Medicaid administrative claiming. And if this program gets approved by the feds, it would bring us as much as $500,000 a year. Well, over a course of a 4- and 5-year period, that's going to be significant dollars, and that would be the bottom line of that. It could definitely be more. We're very good about maximizing our Medicaid dollars when we have the opportunity. This program used to be in existence, and it was called Waiver Administrative Claiming, but for some reason, and we're not real clear on why that got canceled before the Medicaid administrative claiming went into effect. So in effect, we've gotten a 2-year gap on this, and it's cost us a funding stream, you know, that during this period time frame has cost the county or the Butler County Board of Mental Retardation over $1 million in revenues. Non-Medicaid or non-medical transportation, and will we continue to be a provider, has a big impact on how we look at our services and whether we're a provider of services or a funder of services. Medicaid has changed many methods in the last couple of years in which it funds counties, and it's opened this up to many more providers. Whereas at one time, the county board was the only provider, and then UTS or ITS, we were partners with them and contracted with them. In today's market, there's over 10 non-medical transportation providers in the county system for mental retardation, and there are probably going to be many more in the future. Same way with adult day services. The way in which Medicaid has changed this funding has provided for, whereas we were once the only provider of services in the county, there are now over 20 adult day service providers. Now, what happens is those people are the folks who leave our service and go to a private provider for a different kind of service. We can't meet the need of every single person. When they go to another provider, they take those Medicaid dollars with them, and then our match dollars go with that to support that person in a new environment. The ICFMRs, as you're probably aware or have heard about Fairfield Center and the goings on at Fairfield Center, they are in the midst of bringing in or looking for a new provider, which will mean that they will have the possibility of looking for a new adult day service provider, which will change the way we look at or operate. Again, that is a ICFMR decision, not a county decision, so they will make that. Waiver pledge. In 2005, the state of Ohio instituted a new waiver rate, and they took out of the hands or took away from the counties the opportunity to negotiate with providers for rates for individuals. So they instituted a statewide rate, and when they did that, what that's created is an $18 million shortfall in or $18 million of additional money that takes to support the people who are on the waivers over what we had in 2005. And during the time frame of these last 3 years, the state of Ohio has stepped up and funded that shortfall. And that agreement ends in June 30th of 2008, and at this point we have no idea whether they're going to continue that or whether that's going to be part of the state budget cuts and that bill is going to come back to the counties. And if that does, that means for Butler County an additional $900,000 on these waivers. So in one sense, I almost look at this as an unfunded mandate. Don't know how else to explain it. Will the state continue to participate with the counties on the waiver match? And you'll see my waiver match is down at the bottom of the third page on the numbers page. And we don't know if they'll continue to fund that waiver match or whether or not they're going to take away our state subsidy to fund that waiver match. And at this point, I go to Columbus a couple of times a month to attend meetings to try to have an impact and an influence on our state decision maker or the decision makers at the state level, going over these numbers, because it becomes a very complicated system, and many times the decision makers that we have in at least the ODMR facility or state office, they're not ex-county employees, so they don't know how it works on the local level so much as they do on the state level. So we're always trying to educate and see if we can't bring that along and at least have something that's favorable and a win-win, not only to the state but on our local level. So rest assured, at least we have a voice in Butler County on that. I've been attending those for at least the last probably a couple of years to see if we can't work something out here that makes sense. Rent payments from Fairfield Center. We don't know whether the new provider is going to buy that facility out. It's been a facility that's supplied that we have leased over the course of time. And as it ages and deteriorates, it would probably be better for us if it does sell out and we would no longer be associated with the physical plant out there as we have been in the past. And when do we go for a new levy? And what's the current trend on levy collections? Is that going to continue? As you're probably aware, levy collections have been down this past year with non-payments and stuff. And One of the things that I want to just turn your attention to would be page 3 on the numbers. And just run real quick over the things that I look at. There's three important parts, as I see it, to when it's the right time to look at a levy. And that would be page 3 of this document. You're there. And you'll see a couple of red numbers, and I don't want to alarm you with that, but right off the get-go, you'll see down at the bottom, the first set of red numbers says less state waiver allocation. That's just the deduction from my waiver pledge, and I put that on there in that fashion just because I don't know what's going to happen to that money. I don't know if the state's going to take it away from us, and that's going to become a county, a local something that we have to supply locally. So I highlight that so that at least our board and you all will have an opportunity to see that number and what happens to it in the future. The three most important numbers that I look at all the time in trying to make a projection on when's the right time to ask for or how much to look at for a levy is one, what's the actual ending cash, and what percentage of that cash balance is it of the total budget. And I'm always trying to look at somewhere around that. Once it reaches that 30% to 25% level, that's a level that triggers that the following year we're not going to have enough cash to go, if it falls below that, to meet our payrolls for that first quarter until that tax, till the tax distribution comes in. So just to make sure that we are operationally sound, that's a number that becomes an important look. The next thing is the very bottom number down there, which is the difference between revenues and expenditures. And in 2008, you'll see that number is a red number. And that's by design. As you know, when the levies run, you're basically operating on fixed income. So we're at the end, or actually I think what we're doing is we're closing towards the end of that gap. So for the first 4 years of our levy, it was passed in 2004, so 2005, 6, and 7, sorry, first 3 years, we were building cash during that time frame, and we had positive number here between the difference between revenues and expenditures. During the end of that cycle, you begin to eat into those dollars because, well, you don't want to have these large carryovers all the time. Well, you wouldn't need to go for a levy, right? So the idea is, as I'm looking at this, is to look at 5, 6, or 7 year cycles. So one, that we don't pass or ask for more money than we need for a given time frame. And two, that when we get it, we make it last. And we make it last for at least that 5 years. So when we passed that levy in 2004, we made a promise to the community that we wouldn't be back before 2009. We've been able to push that back to 2010, and if we could go deeper than that, we certainly would. A lot depends upon how things work out, the moon and the stars all line up, so to speak. Now, when I do my cash flows and projections on this, I do it very conservatively. The revenues, I try and be as conservative as possible, and pretty much on the expenditure side, I look at the top side of the expenditures. What would be the top side on that? So, but if you have any questions, I would be happy to answer them, or if you would like for me to come back at some point and give you a lot more detail, I'd be happy to do that too.
Mr. Rick, thank you for this. And as always, you always do a terrific job, and I'm very impressed. But I think I heard you right when you said that if you go for a new levy, you would be a new levy instead of a replacement levy.
Yes.
Because of, you know, we just got through a Children's Services levy that was a replacement levy.
Yes.
Did we make a mistake there instead of going for a new levy? And I'm trying to, you know.
You know what?
Because we still have, we have both have the personal property tax rollback, and I'm just trying to.
You know, I can't answer that without knowing when and how much the fluctuation was in dollar amounts. In our case, and what I've been looking at here is that we replaced in 2004. So a replacement in 2009 or 10 or 11 wouldn't generate enough to offset that person, that loss in personal property tax or the loss of that phase in.
Okay.
So if you went deeper back into, like, say, and a lot of times, and this is not unusual, that counties would have levies that would go as deep as 1980, 1984. If you replace those, they would replace at a higher value, and then there you would still be able to generate a positive cash flow for a time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You see what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Rick, it's a great presentation. I liked everything but telling us how old we were when you talked about the first time we did this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let me just, I'm very supportive of the program and the work that you guys do. But, you know, I guess this is what I tell everybody that I talk to that comes up here is that we're looking at ways to reduce our costs. Okay. And when I look at, when I look at your numbers, when I see you've got, I see that you've got some, what have you called it? Get to the other page. Anyway, it was reductions in something else. You couched it in different terms, but new initiatives and reductions. I assume that, that's you're for 2008. You're showing about $500,000, right?
Yes.
Okay. We're really working hard to convince everybody that the economy is not heading in the right direction. I am. The economy is not heading in a good direction, and people's tax dollars are just about stretched as far as they can go. So I would like to suggest we work on that new initiative reductions as hard as we can. And I know there's some assumptions that you put into this that you don't really know what they are, and we'll help you lobby that in Columbus and make sure we get as much as we can. But we need everybody to work on that new initiative and reductions line as much as you can. And I know you have, but we're taking second and third and fourth looks, and we're asking everybody to do the same.
That's right. We understand that. And that's very much where we're at. And actually, when I put that line in, that becomes more or less a contingency because I don't know where these things are going to fall.
I understand.
And, there's not enough money there to even impact these if they fell the wrong way. So we're always trying to make that impact, and hopefully those are dollars that would go unspent, and hopefully that would even grow.
Okay.
So that, when we look at a $33 million target budget, that we would come in way under that.
Right.
Obviously, that's the target at this point, which would help us to push that back.
Yeah, well, just in real rough numbers, just a 3% reduction, and I think everybody can get a 3% reduction if you have to. That's a million something.
That's right.
So, and you roll that across the board, it's a lot of money. So
that's right.
I would just like to ask you to look real hard at that line, and I know you guys are trying to get every dollar you can and out services and that, but we're doing that with everybody, so that would be my comment. Other than that, you guys do a great job.
Great. Thank you. Right. Appreciate it.
Her. proclamation here. And I'll just read the latter part, if I may. Now, therefore, be it resolved that we, Charles R. Furman, Donald L. Dixon, and Gregory V. Jolivet, Commissioners of Butler County, Ohio, do hereby congratulate the Butler County Board of MRDD on the 40th anniversary of its creation and declare the month of March as Mental Retardation and Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month. And we really appreciate all your efforts and your hard work, and it's you've had a lot of proven success stories, and we do appreciate it, and we'd like to present this proclamation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If they are, they probably don't know it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Christian. Kevin Falk. Thank you.
Morning.
Morning, Kevin. How are you?
Good. Well, it's one of those days that, once again, hopefully we can keep everything on an upbeat note today. And as many times, our Board of Supervisors and myself are here asking for appropriations or partnerships or whatnot, but today we just have a lot of thank yous to do. So I'd like to just share with you an honor the district has recently received, but also, due to the nature of the honor, we have many other people, you know, to share in that with and thank. So on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, the Butler Stormwater Conservation District, we would like to thank you for our working relationship, that long-standing working relationship that we feel has been very successful. And the district was chosen for the National Association of Conservation Districts, or in our world we have umpteen million acronyms, NACD, recently selected Butler SWCD as the winner of the National Collaborative Conservation Award for 2007. This award recognizes conservation districts that exemplify innovative, collaborative conservation efforts by drawing upon various partnerships, traditional and non-traditional partnerships, utilizing diverse funding sources and conducting a wide range of projects to address their community's natural resource needs across the board. To give you an example, on our application, some of the submissions of our traditional partnerships obviously would include our longstanding partnership with the Butler County Commissioners, our erosion and sediment control program with the planning department and Mike's great staff and all that we do with the building and zoning, Greg's department with the stormwater district and engineer's office with that large program, and it's going very well right now. Our river cleanup, soil and water has had an integral part in that, along with the groundwater consortium and the stormwater district, and coordinating that for Butler and Hamilton counties. And we have on an average of 300 participants a year, and this year we're actually moving that event up. Obviously, our traditional ag programs, our partnerships there with the Natural Resource Conservation Service, USDA, Farm Service Agency, as well as the Miami Conservancy District, the newest program of the Water Quality Credit Trading Program. We're the local entity that helps landowners apply for that free market-based credit trading program, which DES puts money into. Some non-traditional ones include the Beckett Ridge Basin grant we applied for. There were 42 residents that we retrofitted a detention basin and to not only function as flood control but also try to meet a water quality requirement. We're trying to act as that local connection between these requirements from the state, from EPA, ODNR, et cetera, and help our stormwater district engineer's office find innovative ways to meet those as efficiently as possible. Health Nuts, they do wetland yoga. They do everything from getting kids just outdoors. You would not believe how many kids don't even know what skipping a rock is. So one of our missions is to get them out there and just enjoy that stuff. Along with many other projects, one of our most ones we're most proud of is our new soils trailer. We wrote a grant and received a grant from the state to build a soil and water trailer. We're working with the Cincinnati Museum Center, RAC Extreme Graphics Design, a bunch of non-traditional partners, and are basically creating, if when you walk into a trailer, you will feel like you're underground. It's for adults, it's for children. We've already had a long list of people ready to use this, and we don't even have it completed, but we're hoping to debut it at the Butler County Fair in the Farm Zone as one of those areas, and we'll be taking that around Butler County as well as all over Ohio. We're also in conversations with the Smithsonian, Museum, because they just started a new exhibit called Dig It. And they have 5,000 square feet where I have a 40-foot trailer, but our concept and idea is the same. So we're looking at... Actually, it was simultaneous.
Oh, okay.
We didn't even know each other were doing it until we received this award out in Reno that we started discussing. So those are just a hint on a few of the partnerships. Also, the staff is wonderful. All these different projects and programs are in addition to the day-to-day work of flagging out waterways, of inspecting for erosion controls, of doing school programs, et cetera. So I just want to also thank them. The district was given this award at first, the North Central region, which is a 9-state area region. We were selected for the North Central Region Collaborative Conservation Award. And then on February 12th in Reno, Nevada, and it is Nevada. I got that lesson when I was out there. It's not Nevada, it's Nevada. That the Board of Supervisors received from Arlen Lancaster the National Collaborative Conservation Award that we were very proud of. This was out of the 9 regions and covered over 3,100 conservation districts across the nation that Butler was selected out of. And we were very proud to be out there representing not only Ohio and soil and water, but also Butler County. The Board of Supervisors and staff values our partnership in delivering programs and services to the residents of Butler County as efficiently as possible. And we feel our program is one of the most efficient forms of government, being that we have local, state, and federal resources and partners all in the same office to find whatever we can to help the residents of Butler County. It is a huge honor for our district to receive this award on collaboration, because Soil and Waters, the Federation, Ohio Department of Natural Resources all hang their hat on creating partnerships. So to receive this award nationally is a huge honor for our district board. And obviously this is not all possible without our first partnership with the commissioners. As you are aware of our setup, that our Board of Supervisors and the Butler County Commissioners were the first partnership created, and it makes that funding source that every dollar that the commissioners do appropriate to the district, we can then go lobby as a whole to the state legislature and make that even more efficient for Butler County. And obviously, like I mentioned before, we feel that is very successful, and just want to thank you guys for that longstanding partnership, and hope we get to do many more of these thank yous in the future due to that successful efficiency. Also, besides the award, I would just like to thank the commissioners for our new building, and I would think pretty soon you'd be able to look out the window and see a lovely green-topped roof going up very fast. We are very appreciative of that. When our building was built, there were 3 people in our office between NRCS and Soil and Water, and we are now at 9 in that same amount of space. So it's been a little challenging, and we've been able to make it work, but we're very appreciative and think we'll even be able to be more efficient with the needed space and just room to actually have someone sit down at a desk. So we greatly appreciate that. It's going to be great storage-wise, use-wise, everything, and to bring all the people in for all the different conferences, training programs, workshops that we do. So we greatly appreciate that. And then my other thank you is I'm glad my board members could be here with me today. I have 2 of them with me, Barb Reisenauer, our chairman, and Norbert Lurch, our longstanding board member. The 3 that could not be here today were Etta Reed, Jim Gifford II, and Rita Beiser are also our board members. But I'd like to just give a special thanks to Norbert. He has mentioned that he will not be running this October. This will be his last term. And as many of you know, to the soil and water world in general, before it was called Soil and Water, the Soil Conservation Service, Norbert was a team lead of 3 soil scientists who mapped out this entire county, along with about, how many others, Norb, 8 or 9? And that's a huge feat, and that was the foundation of how we can provide our services based on soils, based on slopes, based on subsurface issues with water, drainage, et cetera, all started with the lovely soil Bible of the Soil Survey. So I would just like for you to help me join in thanking Norbert for all his years of service to Butler County and the surrounding area. And beyond that, that is all I have, and I thank you very much for your time, and I'll answer any questions if you have any at this time.
Okay. Kevin, we really appreciate all your comments and the thank yous. We have had a very good working relationship and appreciate you and your staff and board. Norbert, how long have you been involved with the soil and water now?
35 years.
Well, you're to be commended, and you've done a great job. Always good to see you at the various events. Appreciate all your hard work and effort throughout those years.
A lot of walking,
I'm sure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. You guys have anything?
It's kind of timely that they come here today. I mean, have you looked at the news and what they're doing in the Grand Canyon with, open up the dam to get the soil downstream, which is kind of interesting. But that was fascinating to see that and hope it works for that. But I thought it was kind of timely.
Yeah, there's especially with what a lot of people are calling the green revolution coming up. It's a very exciting field to be in right now, and there's a lot of potential and a lot of challenges. Obviously with everything, but as it goes with soil and water, usually the best soils for growing crops, trees, greenery, sod, and nurseries are the same best soils for growing industry, houses, commercial places, etc. So it's always a challenge to be looking at those and how they interact. And as we always say, no matter what the land use is, there's always soil and water issues to be taken care of. So I guess that would be called job security. But
yeah.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
We're going into some paperwork and housekeeping now. If you'd like to stay, you're welcome. Or if you would care to leave at this time, you may do so. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Yeah. Wendy, appreciate your time. And
Thank
you. Christina. Yeah.
Thanks.
Rick. Good job. Rick,
thank you.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, I think
well,
I might come and want to meet Marcia.
Yeah.
She was my first love.
Just that's right. Yeah.
Thank you. Communications, please.
First, approved minutes from March 5th. Approved travel and training under finance, transfers and appropriations. Amended certificate of estimated resources. Authorized execution of loan agreement with Guernsey County through a CCAO finance program, authorizing an increase in general fund appropriation to Port Authority and approve their first draw. Under personnel, authorized reallocation of salary funds, approved pay adjustment for CSEA investigator, accept and place on file care facility personnel actions. On development, authorized 08 action plan with the Butler County Entitlement Program, award contract, CDBG contract for sewer improvement to Associated Excavating. Under Job and Family Services, accept and place on file payroll and approve agreement with Butler County Transit Alliance. Under Children's Services, accept and place on file employee payroll number 5. Under Environmental Services, amend resolution for bid advertisement for water main replacement, extend public sanitary sewer services to Johnson Property, and approve extending water and sanitary to Tylersville Farm Retail Center. Receive and refer bids for sodium products. Approve issuance of grant funds to school, nonprofit, government, and business entities. Approve agreement with unwanted appliances for recycling services. Under engineer, cancel maintenance bond for Cody Lake. Advertise for bids for equipment. Receive and refer bids for bridge replacement and janitorial services and Princeton Road widening. Award contract for traffic signal maintenance to Capital Electric line builders. Approve agreement with ME companies for engineering services. Approve agreement with however, design services, approve agreement with Tech Engineering, and approve agreement with WC Engineers of Ohio. Under miscellaneous, rescind resolution adopted March 05 for authorization of signed bonds. Approve and execute agreement with Stanley Convergent Security Solutions and also with StanTech Consulting Services for Butler County Regional Airport. Approve representatives for the Butler County Board of Revisions. Approve intergovernmental agreement with Coshocton CSCA for imaging demonstration. Approve 4D service contracts with CSCA and juvenile court and adult probation. And approve 5 reimbursements.
Oh, Derek, what was Job and Family Services? What did we read those again?
I just did the first two. I got a question yet on the third one. Approve amendment number 1. I pulled that one to hold. Right. That question.
In the Port Authority, with the, that was for
We have not, you know, that you guys are funding them.
Yes.
Some allocation. This is just to give them a first piece of it so that they can proceed with their plans that they've reviewed.
Do we have that in writing with them, that they've got a year?
I will make sure we do before they
get. And we talked about this funding is
a one-year only.
A one-year sunsets and either get profitable or we're going to fold it into another agency.
Got it. They will have it as part of the package.
Okay. Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. If I may, I'd like to bring something up at this time. I keep reading where we're talking about another levy for the Children's Services coming up in November, and I don't think this board has ever agreed to such a move, and I don't think it's in our interest at this time to do that. I would like to extend our appreciation or express our appreciation to the voters for passing the levy, which just this last Tuesday passed. And it's extremely important for the Children's Services to continue the services that we have. But there's so many changes and so much we need to look at in Children's Services with all the various contracts, all the personnel issues. We really want to take a good hard look before we know exactly where we will be in the future. But right now, I want to make it perfectly clear that I personally am not in favor, and I don't think the board is, of anything coming up this November. I'd like to clarify that. I keep seeing it. I was afraid it was going to hurt the chances of the existing levy replacement from it being in the paper and keep saying we need another levy in November because it's premature as far as I'm concerned. You guys have anything to add to that?
I think you're right on target. We promised the taxpayers and our residents that we were going to see where every penny is being spent and how it's being spent. We're in the process of doing that. You know, I can't support any additional money at this time, not knowing what we're spending now. And I will make this pledge on top of what you said, Commissioner Furman. Not one penny of this new levy money will be spent until we know where all the old money is going. And when we get finished with that, then we'll see what kind of program we got. But my guess is it won't look anything like it does now.
You know, I want to take you back to when Mike came to us to talk about the levy. He did say that, you know, this is keeping us at a level of the same level as would be if the levy was a renewal. And that's why we went with the replacement, because of what Rick Black said is a concern of theirs is the personal property tax rollback. But Mike did have a, you know, hey, I've got a vision for Children's Services, which, you know, may be costly, but maybe also be effective to help with children and family and doing things a little bit more efficiently. And one of those is, you know, just being having more technology for caseworkers. So they don't have to be wasting time waiting for appointments. They could be working on their laptops or whatever. But you know that's small. But it's things like that that I think Mike was talking about. There's also you know a vision for the community to help with families and to help with bringing back placements that are placed throughout the county, which, you know, cost us a lot of money to have these kids all over the country, all over the state, and having to have our workers go visit them once a month, and also to have their families that they travel and the reunification becomes tougher. So those are some of the visions that Mike had, but I think we rightfully and wisely said that, hey, we need to, with the atmosphere of the taxpayers, no need to go with just what is needed for operations and to fund for the agency for the next 5 years. I agree with both of you saying that we need to take a look at all the expenses. We're still very new with regards to taking over the agency and having a oversight. So, and unfortunately, as I mentioned before, that it it was unfortunate that we had to go to the voters with this levy right now instead of being able to go with a more thorough investigation of the finances. But the timing of the levy was not ours to choose. But in saying that, I also want to say a deep thank you to Mike and his staff, and particularly Denise Winkler and Jeff Centers and Jerome Kearns, along with Mike and all the employees of Children's Services, who did a great job of getting the message out to the public on a very limited budget to help pass this levy, because we'd be sitting here today saying, hey, you know, we've got to put this back on in November, and you know how tough it, you know, how narrowly it passed just Tuesday, we'd have a tougher time in November. So
I could interject there, Greg. I think we'd like to express our appreciation to you for taking the lead on that as well.
Well, job well done. It's something that I think that was important, and it's the right thing to do. And but it, as we go forward with this agency, I have some ideas that I think are, as we look at the family unit in Butler County, we need to strengthen the families and be able to have services that they can come to instead of having them spread out all over the place. But that's a vision that I have and other people have, that we're going to be coming to the commission to ask for their support, whether it's a reprioritizing of the current budget or, asking the voters for an increase in order to change the way we do things. Because as our population grows, the need for the services is not going to diminish. It's just going to increase. But I certainly agree with the sentiment about we need to make sure that we're doing everything efficiently and cost economically in order to assure the voters and the taxpayers that we are being good stewards of their money. So I agree with the fact that November is not the time to go back to the voters. We need to do a good self-examination and then to chart the course for the future, along with Mike and the staff out there and the community. So.
Well, part of what I was referring to is like in 2003 there was 136 employees, and 2007 there was 200 employees, and that was when there was a board and an administrator there that we had no actual control over, and I think that's quite that's an awful lot of people in a short period of time, so I think we really need to take that apart and really look at where we are. And not to mention the programs, like you suggest, because we have been looking at those, and I think those are going to make a big difference as well. So for that reason, I personally don't care for the thought of and won't support a tax increase for the November.
I think that as we look at the state and the governor's call for, reduction in workforce within the state government, we need to take a look at that also. And we've, it's not quite the same as in the private sector. When you want to reduce workforce, it's just not that easy.
Exactly.
So we need to take a look at that ourselves and how we can accomplish that within, contractual arrangements that governments have to follow.
Well, I agree with you, Greg, but I don't think we've made the first. We haven't made the first move yet to really get a handle on what's out there. Now, we're talking about spending all this money sending these kids to Cleveland. And then we come up with a plan. We're going to spend $300,000 to do a TV ad. And then all of a sudden we get a big push and then it stops. I'm not comfortable with any of it. We got a lot of good people out there. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we haven't had control of it for only just a few weeks. But as I was going through the community, what I was hearing was, I want to make sure that these kids are taken care of, but I want to make sure that we don't have more employees than we need, and that our programs are cost effective. And why are they in Cleveland? How did they get to Cleveland? I don't know. Doesn't make any sense to me. Well, but I'm not placing the blame anywhere. I'm just saying You don't fix the problem by putting more money at it. You got to first take it apart and see what you got. And I appreciate what you did on the levy, and I appreciate really what the voters did. They're the ones that have to step up and write the check. But if you'll pay real close attention to the poll that we were given by the so-called experts, this renewal should have passed 80-20. The real test was when it went to the voters, and it went by 2%. Now, you know, I think everybody understands that we need to provide these services, but they also want to make certain that, you know, that everybody's got budgets, constraints to live in, home budgets to deal with, foreclosures are up, the economy's headed down, gas going to $4 a gallon. Hey, enough's enough, and they want to make sure we do the right thing. And Commissioner Furman has rightfully said for the record, and I haven't been comfortable with it either, that I think the taxpayers have been led to believe that we're going to come back with a levy in November. Now, I don't recall that. I recall Mike, our director, standing up there saying, and he'll be back. Well, he can come back tomorrow, and he can come back next month. But, you know, that doesn't mean anything to me as far as what people are going to be voting on. So my direction for him has been get to the bottom of it, open it up, do the audits, let's see what we got. And I haven't seen any of that yet. And I, for one, before another penny is spent out of that new money, well, I want to know where the old money's going. And I think Commissioner Furman's saying the same thing. And I think you're saying the same thing, Greg.
I don't think we're in the midst of an argument here. Yeah. I acknowledge the fact that the economy is slowing down, and there's people that are, you know, being foreclosed on, and families losing jobs, and unfortunately that's the double-edged sword, because of those pressures of losing their jobs and possibly losing their homes, that creates more of a pressure on the family, and the more of that, you know, where's that pressure going to be released? And unfortunately that falls on the children, that, you know, predicates the need for having, you know, services available for these families. So that's the double-edged sword of that.
But just hanging a sign on a door and saying you're in charge of this department of economic pressures to the families doesn't get it done. And I think we've just been, you know, over the years, and the commission hasn't had control of that, but over the years we've just been painting signs on the doors and hiring people and giving them titles. And we've been shipping kids out all over the state because it's the easiest thing to do. And I think that the time has come that we deal with it. And I think the commission sent that message loud and clear. And I think it's time that we, I guess it's time we see the results.
Well, I think we're in agreement on that. Do you guys have anything else?
Oh, I do. I read in the paper very pleased that AK Steel has announced their investment of some $300 million, I think the figure was. So my hat's off to AK Steel officials. I know in the past I've been critical of their move out of Middletown, their headquarters, to Westchester, even though it was in the county. So even, you know, with one breath I could criticize it. There's another time when, you know, I want to make sure that my hat's off to the AK officials who have made the commitment to Middletown, and that'll be a boon to Middletown. And AK Steel commitment to Middletown in the county is very much appreciated.
Should we send any kind of acknowledgement to that effect?
I think we should.
Yeah,
that's a good point,
Mr. President. I have we did get correspondence back from the state auditor on the letter we sent asking to help for New Miami. And it's pretty interesting. I'm not going to bore everybody with reading it. I'll give the press a copy. But I think it kind of lays all the facts out.
So the state is going to help us with this?
The state says they have been there. They've basically been in there for quite a while. They've met more than 20 sometimes with the fiscal officer. He didn't do the accounting right. They don't know where the money is. It's really not auditable. And that there's an ongoing investigation, as I read this, by the Sheriff's Department. But basically they're saying that they can't step in and run it day to day. but they have provided the assistance, and they do have an eye on it, so I have to copy that for the press. And one last thing, I know we appointed the acting auditor yesterday, and I know how strongly this board feels about the formula for the reappraisal.
Yes.
And I want to make certain that he understands the commitment this board has about reflecting the true values, home prices, in the reappraisal, because that's real critical, because that's starting to move forward right now, you know, next several weeks. And the letter we did get back from the state was that the auditor does have the ability to use the current values.
Flexibility in it.
And that was really an auditor's call, and it wasn't really as complicated as what we thought. So we need to make sure that...
Seemed like a no-brainer.
Yeah, it seemed like it was very clear that we can use today's current values under special circumstances, and I would certainly say this economy dictates that. Yeah.
Well, it's fortuitous that we named Mike as the auditor because of his background in real estate.
Yeah, it worked perfect. Yeah.
Yep.
Perfect.
So.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Press, have anything at this time?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Commissioner Galvett?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Kerman?
Yes.